Women's Wednesday afternoon shiur in Chavos Halvavos, Cheshvat, Shara Yichud HaMaisa. Single-mindedness in the performance of in life. Single-mindedness in life to do Hashem's will and other assorted paraphernalia. Okay, so in Perek Aleph he defined it, and in Perek Beis, in Perek Aleph, in Perek Aleph he defined it, and in Perek Beis he talked about what you need to develop Yichud HaMaisa. Characteristics, ideas, principles, things you're going to have to do or believe in order to you can't have Yichud HaMaisa without these 10 things. That's the whole Perek Beis. Very short Perek. Aleph is short, Beis is short, Gimel is short, Dalet is short, Hey is long. Okay, so he has 10 things, and the first 5 are really just clarifying in your own mind about Hashem. As he will repeat later, if you don't have, and really, you know, it's only, if not for the Chavos Halvavos, I don't know what kind of an idea I would have about Hashem. The Chavos Halvavos really gives us a grasp on having an idea of who Hashem is, what Hashem is, what his reality is, what he means to us. Otherwise, and you know, speaking again from the perspective of a man, especially from someone who went to yeshivas, nobody talks about this. Not in regular yeshivas. Not if you don't want to be labeled a Baal Tshuva. They wouldn't dare talk about this. Don't worry, tape recorder's still going. Okay, it's battery operated. Really, that's the first 5. The first 5 is to have a healthy idea, and really, if you're into Chavos Halvavos, if you come to especially the shiurim we give, it's sort of like he keeps talking about the same ideas, really, because when something's true, you don't have to be embarrassed that he's constantly cross-referencing Hashem as the only power in the world and Hashem as the native, and our feeling the debt of gratitude to Hashem and our service of Hashem in order to somehow, that's the only way we have of repaying this debt of gratitude, and how you have to think about things in order to develop the gratitude, or else you get used to things and you don't feel gratitude. There's nothing wrong. When something's MS, there's nothing to be ashamed about that it's going to be MS and have ramifications in every area of life. Adarabba, I think there's a quote from Einstein that a theory is more possibly true. He doesn't use those words. He uses a much better word. More possibly true, the greater of its number of ramifications. You know, the bigger klal it is, and the more ramifications it has, so then the more solid it is. It's like a yesod. He said a yesod. So if you think about the Chavos Halvavos' presentation of gratitude and avodas Hashem and how they come together, and it has applications in the mitzvah of emunah, and it has applications in shar yichud hamaisa, and it has applications in shar habitachon, and it has applications in shar avas Hashem, and it has applications in shar hakenia, because that's how he defines kenia, the humility I feel at the fact that I am totally powerless without Hashem giving me everything I have, or without Hashem making me everything that I am, and so on and so forth. So there's nothing wrong. It's wonderful. When my Rosh Hashiva of Abba Berman Zatzal said a yesod means like a principle, a halachic, a talmudic, lomdisha principle. So it's wonderful if it has applications in Maseches Bava Kama and in Maseches Kiddushin and in Maseches this Masech and that. That's wonderful. That shows, doesn't prove it's true. But things that are true should, because really the world is interconnected and things are generally interconnected. So something true would indeed, to me it's comforting when something has ramifications in the world of psychology and in the world of pragmatism and in the world of ethics and in the world of philosophy, and so then that's good. That's very comforting to me that it has all these ramifications and they're all true. Anyway, getting back to the Chavis Halvavos Perek Beis, so the first five things are basically a restatement of what he talked about in Shar HaYichud and Shar Avodas Elokim and Shar HaBechina and Shar Avodas Elokim and Shar HaBitachon. That's what the first five things are, with number four and five being deeper degrees of bitachon. It went out. Hashem is more powerful than us. I don't know, more powerful than Masach Nasa, but more powerful than the electric company for sure is. Just kidding. Okay, so then we had, number six was you should be sanguine about if people praise you or make fun of you. And we said, what does that mean? Obviously, no normal person, everybody wants to be well thought of, and he's not coming really to La'afuke that, he's not coming to exclude that. He's coming to say that that's not the goal of your life. That's not what you live for. That shouldn't be the goal of your actions. That shouldn't be the ultimate value of your life, what people think of you. The only ultimate goal of your life, so therefore you have to have the ability, because things will come up in life when you have to pull that out as a weapon, that you don't care what people think of you. In general, adarabba, kol sheruach hamokom nochei menu, ruach habrios nochei menu, says the other way. In general, as he said himself in Shara Bitachon, that one of the characteristics of Bitachon is that someone with Bitachon will be well-liked, because no one is going to think that he's out to stab them, and he doesn't live as if people are out to put him down, which most people, I think, do walk around with this sort of paranoiac. If you wouldn't diagnose them with paranoia and the illness, you know. But certainly, I believe that everybody walks around with a touch of paranoia, that people are out to get them, and it's a rat race out there, and but if you have Bitachon, you don't have any of that. Richard Nixon said, you'd be paranoiac too if everybody was out to get you. So number six is the koach to not care what people think of you. It won't be that nogeya in everyday life, but you will need it at times. And what he means with such a powerful statement, that it's all the same to me if people praise me or if people make fun of me. He's talking about what my ultimate value is, what my ultimate goal in life is. If my ultimate goal in life is that the hespedim should be nice, well, I guess my kids will give the hespedim, so that's, but they'll be fighting about the Yerusha. What Yerusha? They'll be magana me for not leaving them over Yerusha. Hespedim, what? Hespedim, or what it says on the matzeva. Okay, or what it says in the newspapers, or what it says on the big black posters. If that's, then you won't care, that's for sure. What will my obituary?
Yeah. It does, but it's a stepping stone. It's like doing things, anytime we do things shelo lishma, what should really scare a person is what Hashem is going to say about me. That's what he's trying to put forth. So yes, again, the Gemara does say, do things shelo lishma, shebitoch shelo lishma, bo lishma. As you're working on Yichud HaMaisa, we do things along the way, just like nobody, Chavis HaVovus would not say to offer your kid candy if he learns good. As he gets older, offer him a bike. Don't offer him an iPod, not a good idea. But you offer him such matters, like a bike, a chess set? No, I'm not interested in a chess set, okay. Yeah, and we're still children. If we're children, we need the Shalom Lishma. But it should be with the goal of reaching the Lishma. So it's all, that's the Ratzon Hashem. So I'm, again, my ultimate goal is the Ratzon Hashem. I'm not, you know, so along the line this. But it's so dangerous, because nisyonos come up when you have to do the right thing and stand against the crowd. And now people are talking badly against you, and they're thinking the worst of you, and there's Lashon Hara being said, and Hotzoas Shemra. I'd give an example. I know you're not allowed to it's a Vak Lashon Hara if you praise someone publicly. Okay, so no one's allowed to say anything. Like Rechiel Spira. I don't like people generally. I mean, that's right. But I became friendly with him. And I've worked with him now. Well, you know, I've been involved with him for 2 years now. He's but the proverbial straight arrow. The proverb, and I'm not going to say, okay, that's the Vak Lashon Hara. See, that's why. He's a proverbial straight arrow. And he gets such brick bats thrown at him when he says things. And you know, you have to inure yourself to that. You can't. So although you're right that it's a motivating force, it's also a dangerous thing, because you know, look at all the politicians and all. You want to go along. There's Rabbanim that'll even sign. You know, they'll come sign this kol korei, and they'll sign the kol korei, because if they don't sign it, their name will be conspicuously missing, and people will say, "Oh, he's not so frum." Or he's not Haredi enough, he doesn't come out against this or against that, and then it becomes a very destructive force, and therefore it's not, so it's certainly not the goal. The goal is what Hashem thinks of you. Okay, number seven was not to be manipulative, and again, this is, doesn't have to mean, you know, like an evil, scheming person, you know. Manipulative means you're friendly with your neighbor and you're nice to them because you know that someday they may want to be a client of yours, and whatever you do, you're an interior decorator, and there's going to come a day when he wants to redo the house, and it's good if you're on his good side, and that's why you say good morning. You should say good morning to someone because it's the right thing to do to say good morning. You should be friends with someone, and people, you check this out. Sit down and go through a day or 2 days or a week and say, was I nice to people that I think I could get something from? Or was I nice to everybody? Even people that I, you know, that there's no way I would get something from them. And, you know, you have to check the answers. So that's number seven. If you can't do that, you won't be able, again, he's talking about how the things you need to have Yichud HaMaisa. So the first five are no-brainers, because you don't have a healthy idea of Hashem and you don't have Bitachon in Hashem, then of course you're always going to be worried about people. But then he gets more subtle and more. Number six, ultimate motivation, ultimate value in your life. Number seven, don't be manipulative. Lose it. How do you lose it? That's already a whole. How would you lose it? We suggested last week, I think it was, do chesed for people. Do chesed that's Chesed Shel Emes, as it's called, that you don't expect something in return. That is a good way to lose. You get into the giving habit, and it's not just cutting a deal. Life is not cutting deals and seeing what's in it for you. That's number seven. Yazov Hayipui Levnei Adam, which we defined as being manipulative. Number eight, we're up to now in the text. We're in Perek Beis, the end of Perek Beis. Vashmini lufanos libo me iskei ha'olam be'eshu osa la'olam haba.
Amazing. It's amazing that he puts this on the list. Number eight is what is commonly known in very modern terms as giving. Number eight nowadays would be said, give Hashem quality time. Even if the whole day you're busy with Olam Hazeh things, things that are primarily Olam Hazeh, but you should, you know, you're shopping. So ultimately you're going to be shopping because it's the will of Hashem. As we learned in Shara Avodas Elokim and Shara Bitochon, ultimately it's not that hard to be an Eved Hashem 24/7, no matter what you're doing. If you're doing it because Hashem wants you to do it, you're an Eved Hashem, and that's like the ultimate goal. But to get there, to develop Yichud HaMaisa, you have to have the ability, Lefanos Libo Me'iske HaOlam Be'eshu Osel Olam Haba. It's like saying, you know, we try to do this on Shabbos. It says, on Shabbos comes, Yehei Ke'ilu Kol Melachtecha Asuya. Now it's Shabbos, I'm forgetting about all the things I have undone, the work piling up in the office, the laundry piling up in the laundry room, whatever, all the things. Why is that so important? You ever, like, why? If I don't do malacha and I keep Shabbos and I don't do anything asur and chasu shalom and I sing zmiras even and I even eat cholent, like, why is it so important for the Torah to be makbid that I should enter Shabbos with an attitude ki'ilu kol malachtecha asuya? Nothing else to do, as A.B. Rattenberg sings. Nothing else to do. Nothing left to do. I don't know what the answer is, but I mean, maybe this is the answer, because he puts this on his list. To develop Yichud HaMaisa, you have to have the ability to lefanos libos, like saying, when you're davening, I'm not, or else you won't be able to have Yichud HaMaisa, because all these thoughts and all the other garbage in the world is going to intrude. And it's really not that hard. You say, well, it's hard, I can't, but it's not true. Because we all have things. If someone, let's say here, is a graphic artist, right? So when they're doing that, they're not thinking about the laundry. They're not. They're focused on what they're doing, and they give it their full concentration, because this is what they're doing now. It's not a question of, you say, what's number eight? That you shouldn't have the ability to do two things at once. You're not saying that. It's fine if you can do two things at once. It's wonderful, three things at once. But don't. You have to be miyached libo, to develop Yichud HaMaisa, you have to have the ability to push other thoughts out of your mind, not to let the thought of, if it's Kedai, who will like you because of this, who will hold of you because of this, push those things out of your mind. When you're Osuk in Olam Haba, Shabbos is important. You want to have an experience Me'ein Olam Haba. It's a Chiddush maybe, or maybe it's not a Chiddush. I wonder if we think about it enough. The Torah wants Ke'ilu Kol Melachtecha Asuya, or else the thoughts will intrude. And it'll spoil your Shabbos experience. Your Shabbos experience is that you're removed from this world. You're bonding with Hashem, the Creator, and with Hashem who took us out of Mitzrayim, both. And we're not avodim. We don't work. We're not avodim, and we're giving testimony that Hashem made the world and took us out of Mitzrayim. And that's, it doesn't seem that way when the kids are fighting and trying to get some sleep. I know. But that's, you forget what you're doing during the week, or else you won't have the main Olam Haba experience. So if you want to develop Yichud HaMaisa, you have to develop the ability to do this, to get other things out of your mind. And we all do it. When we're doing something that's important to us, that we see as like what we're all about. If a firm lawyer comes to me and says, you know, Rabbi, I can't learn Gemara, I keep... Well, the everything keeps intruding into my mind. I go, well, when you're arguing a case in court, you don't have in your mind what you have to buy your wife on the way home and the shopping list she gave you and picking up the kids from school. That's out of your mind when you're arguing a case in court. You're single-minded, Yichud Maisa, you're focused, you're concentrated. The world is dead to you when you're arguing a case in court. So that means you could do it. It's just a question of what's important to you, and what do you see as a goal, and what do you see as your life. That's number eight. If you can't do it, you cannot develop Yichud HaMa'aseh, because all the other motivations and distractions and seductions all intrude. So that's number eight, that you have to have the ability to push things out of your mind, push Olam HaZeh out of your mind when you're doing and you're involved in spiritual matters. Once you develop Yichud HaMa'aseh, then Adarabba, you'll go on the offensive. And when you do Olam HaZeh things, you'll call upon your Olam Habo experience, and you'll say, I'm doing this because Hashem wants me to do it. And that way we end up being Mekadesh even our Olam HaZeh experiences. He's talking about someone that wants to develop Yichud HaMa'aseh, what he has to have, what he or she has to have the ability to do. Yeah. What?
The idea of thinking about doing things for Hashem, you're supposed to be thinking.
Well, that's what this Shahr is teaching us about that. Yeah, that's okay. That's what this Shahr is about.
Okay, so if you're supposed to think about that all the time, when are you supposed to think about all the things that you're supposed to be doing?
We said a few weeks ago that it's not a question of thinking about this all the time. When something's an ultimate goal and something is the purpose, They can put it in the back of their minds. That's their motivating factor. They don't have to consciously think about it. If I have a goal, I want to graduate college, right? And I have to go through 4 years of studying, and there's beer parties, and there's drugs, and there's all sorts of things on college campuses. I don't have to sit and think, my goal is to get a BA, and that's what I'm here for, so therefore I better not go to this beer party because I'm having a... You don't have to. Once you're on that mold, you've made a firm decision that that's your motivating factor, that's your goal, that's your ultimate value, that's what you're doing here. Then, if you maintain that, things will fall into place. You don't have to consciously think about them. Okay. Number nine is very interesting also. You wouldn't think, what's number nine? It belongs in a Musa Sefer. What's it doing here on this list? Again, this is a list of things you have to develop in order to develop Yichud HaMa'aseh. So number nine is just insightful. It's insightful. He's very smart, the Chavis HaLavis. He's brutally honest and very smart. If you don't have Yiras Hashem, if you don't have Busha, is really at its highest level, Busha is a very exalted form of Yiras Hashem. We're talking about the Busha that the Mesillas Yesharim talks about. Mesillas Yesharim, of course, is a good couple of centuries after the Chavis HaLavis. We're talking about the busha where you wouldn't dare do something violate against Hashem. You wouldn't dare. You're embarrassed, not the type of embarrassment that, you get caught in an embarrassing situation. It's that it's like you're standing before a king. You're embarrassed. Please excuse my lashon. You're embarrassed to burp. You're embarrassed. You're standing in front of a king. You're full of awe and your trepidation, and you're weighing your every word, and you're embarrassed if you have to pull up your zipper. That's the embarrassment. It's an embarrassment that's really the same type of idea as yirah, as awe. So if you don't have this from Hashem, he's being very practical. He's not giving Musa. He doesn't tell you to have yiras Hashem. He says, you're not here to say that. If you want to have Yichud HaMa'aseh, it's so hard. Look at these 10 things it shows you how hard it is. If you think it's a no-brainer, like Bitachon, what's the big deal? I don't know, but all these pages about Bitachon, just have faith in Hashem, rely on Hashem, trust in Hashem. So you say, but Yichud HaMa'aseh, you need a whole shahr for that. You do things because Hashem wants it. Look how hard it is. He says, if you don't have it doesn't have to be natural, you can develop it. If you're not afraid to do
things against the will of Hashem, then the lure and the pull of all the distractions of this world and all the geschmack of this world and everybody around you doing things and you want to be part of them, and you're not going to be able to fight it. You won't. And therefore, of course, you won't be able to develop Yichud HaMaisid. It's just the pull of all these other things are just too strong. He's being practical. If you want to have Yichud HaMaisa, if you want to be so strong, you want to be rock solid, you want to just look at each thing you do, each decision you make, as through the lens of, is this Ratzon Hashem? And you want to develop to have that with a purity, with a wholesomeness, a purity. Me'achuz. You're going to have a very good sense of Yiras Hashem. Because if you don't do that, then there's just too many other things pulling at you, and you're like, okay, I'll do this. It's not going to happen. That's number 9. And number 10 is such a, I don't even know what to do with number 10. It's such a general statement that it's such a, number 10 is use your seichel. It's so practical. He's being very, very practical. He's saying, after everything is said and done, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, you're not there yet. Because the Yetzirah is smarter than you, and that's why he's going to spend so much time in Shaar Yichud HaMaisa talking about the Yetzirah. Because the Yetzirah is wily, and he's smart, and you don't even think it's the Yetzirah. You think it's common sense. You think it's you. You think it's your thoughts. You don't. There's no little devil with a pitchfork, with a tail, standing there, trying to... It's you. It's you. You want to do this. You figure that. You think that. And you have to... And it's not coming from a seichel. Because seichel is tov, seichel is rational, seichel is Hashem, seichel is... And it's coming from a bad place. It's not coming from a sechli place. It's coming from a tava place, a Yetzirah place, a pleasure-seeking place. And you have to develop... And you have to develop the ability to rationally chase away the Yetzirah with your seichel. You have to say, wait a second. You have to. That's his approach. There may be other approaches in Musar how to chase away the Yetzirah. His point here mainly is that if you are a prisoner, not just a prisoner, if you're subject to the wiles of the Yetzirah, you. He's going to mix you up about what's right and what's wrong. He'll even tell you that Hashem wants you to do this. And he'll pull out Medrashim, and he'll pull out Gemaras, and he'll pull out all sorts of things to confuse you. Right? Because there's always a Gemara that says something. You might know that already. You know, learned women, you go to Shiurim, and you hear all sorts of things. There's always something. I could prove, the Gemara says that Reb Meir had a Talmud. It's a famous statement of the Gemara. Certain shrotzim are tamei, certain dead shrotzim are tamei. So Reb Meir had a Talmud that was able to show that it's tohor, a certain sheretz, with 50 arguments. You can do anything. You can twist everything on its head. You can take the most simple no-brainer. And, there's already many shtiklach Torah saying that soldiers are allowed to listen to women sing, and then it's, of course, they're mechuyev to listen to women sing, of course. That's like, they're allowed to, b'dieved, they're allowed to lechatchila, they should, they're mechuyev to, right? And every week brings forth another piece of Torah. You can do anything. You can do anything. And this is a Chil Hashem, and this is this, and this is that. And it's a lot of confusion out there. And the further we go away from Nevuah, and the further we go away from a Beis HaMikdash, and the further we go away from a Sanhedrin, and it's already talking thousands of years, right?
it gets more and more confusing when the further we go away from a central authority. And like the most we could hope for is to pick someone to make your central authority. That's the most we could hope for, and that's sad because it's supposed to be a central authority for Klal Yisrael, not for every person, you know. At least, and it's getting worse and worse because it used to be a town with a kahila, and now every block there's 3-4 shuls, and right. So you could just walk between the raindrops and do whatever you want because you're not tied to any. And it's very confusing. So number 10 is, so you say, well, why doesn't number 10 say get a Rebbe? Because this is the old story. Chovos HaLavos would love it if everybody would be their own Rav. They would love it if you can. If you have the ability to, and you develop all of these things, and you're able to, that's the ideal. And even though I get always a lot of flack for this, it's the ideal. The ideal is to paskin your own shilas, and the ideal is to make your own decisions, and the ideal. Now, it's so much the ideal that the overwhelming majority of people cannot do it. They can't. Nobody, how many people have the ability to learn through the sugyas and shas about Borer to decide if they could cut off, if they can wash the lettuce? You know, or if they could wash the lettuce an hour before the Suda, how many, so that you can't do it. And how many people could purify their thoughts that they can use their seichel to fight the Yetzirah? When you're so mixed up and you don't even know what's the Yetzirah and what's the Yetzir Tov anymore, and you're not even sure anymore, and you're just a bundle of confusion. And for every opinion, there's a shita, and for every shita, there's a website. And it's very confusing. But okay, getting back to the theory, although this is number 10, is you have to develop the ability to think rationally and to chase away the Yetzirah, to overcome the pleasure seeking faculties of the Yetzirah that try to confuse you, and to be rational and straight thinking and see things the way they are and not kid yourself. And this is all part of rational thought, I guess. So that's number 10. Sheyivod some haseichel. But he's also saying to think about it. Don't do things impulsively. Like when you get thoughts, don't impulsively follow your thoughts. Think it through. That's really the literal sentence he's saying, is think things through. B'chol hirurei hayetzer belibo. When you get thoughts, the Yetzirah sends thoughts to your mind. Maybe, I don't want to say them, I don't want to teach you what to think. You know, maybe Hashem is not, maybe Hashem, it comes back 3 days later. So you have to use your seichel. You say, no. I remember learning in class, we learned to Chovos HaLavos, that's impossible. Hashem is always Hinei lo yinom lo yishon shemer Yisrael. Hashem didn't forget about me, and Hashem is full of chesed and full of rachamim and full of ahava. And use your powers of rational thought to chase away whatever the Yetzirah might be sending into your head. Okay, so those are the 10 things in Perek Beis which you need in order to develop. Again, he approaches it like a workbook. So he starts off by giving a definition of it, and then in chapter 2, Perek Beis, he says what you need to develop it. Now we go on to Perek Gimel. Perek Gimel is a very short perek, as they all are. And he essentially says one idea in Perek Gimel. And really, we can finish it if I go fast. Perek Gimel says one thought. Because Perek Gimel is about where does Yichud HaMaisa apply? In what part of our lives does it? So he makes a chilek and he says as follows. I'll say it first, I'll pair, and then you'll see. As we know, the Chovos HaLavos categorizes mitzvahs into two groups, Chovos HaEvarim and Chovos HaLavavos. things we have to do. We have to put a mezuzah on the door. A man has to put on tefillin, shofar, take challah. This is all things we do. And then there are chayvus halavavus, love Hashem, fear Hashem, don't be jealous, midos. They're all chayvus halavavus. So he says, almost by definition, and maybe not even almost, by definition, yichud hamaisa is only nogeya chovos ha'ivorim. I have no reason to, no one can see if I love Hashem or not. So I have no reason to, and I can't, by definition, I can't fake avos Hashem. I could, what do you mean fake? I could take challah for a not a good reason. I could take challah because I'm ashamed of my neighbor. My neighbor's going to come want to taste it, and I don't want to be machshala, so I'm taking challah. That's my. I don't want to be ashamed, so I go to shul once in a while. I have a mezuzah on my door. It fell off. Okay, mezuzah, but I'm ashamed. My neighbor's passing by. They say, "Hey, what happened to your mezuzah?" So these are all outward things. So we have to worry about yichud hamaisa. He makes the point, and that's the whole paragimel, that in chovos halavavos, it's automatic. That's it. You can't fake. Nobody's looking. Nobody sees. There's no reason to. And you can't fake it. You can't. If you're not Oiv Hashem, you're not Oiv Hashem. You can't be Oiv Hashem if you have a different motive, then you're not Oiv Hashem. You're Oiv yourself. You're Oiv someone else. And there's no reason to, because no one sees if you're being an Oiv Hashem or not. Aval ha'masim eshayushlamu, that become sholem. Do it anyway. The worst thing, please, don't walk out of this place and say, if I can't have yichud hamaisa, I'm not going to do it. He says, "Ashayushlamu that have become sholem, be yichudam, be yachadam, lokel, be esasiyosam, heim maaseh avodah shemekavim behem rotzon alokim, veheim kol hamitzvos haniras al ha'ivarim. What can be seen outwardly, sheefshar shetia kavona behem luzulas hakel to something other than the Ribbono Shel Olam, v'tia kavonas oseihen lehizdayan b'neitzel b'nei adam, to appear to be a certain way by their social peers, v'lekavos kavodam, or to want kavod. People should hold of you, and people should therefore offer you things and want to get on your good side. V'shabcha malasolson, well, look how from that guy is, look what he does. That could be a motivating factor. You can't be a faker in Chovos HaLavavos. Either have Avos Hashem and Yiras Hashem, or you don't have Avos Hashem. You either are jealous or you're not jealous. Well, that's a lot. Even positive thoughts. No one's looking, no one's seeing. No one's going to praise Lemisha Makaya Mehem Dover. No one's going to praise someone that has Chovos HaLavavos, Avos Hashem. Shar HaKaniya, if you feel a certain way towards Hashem, no one's going to praise you because no one's going to know about it. Mitnesha Ein. B'nei Odom Yodem Es Lavavo. People can't read his mind. So if you're doing it, you're doing it l'shem hamashkif, the only one who can see your thoughts. Ruhu aborius barach b'levad, k'moshe amar ani Hashem choker leiv bochein kloyos. V'yomar anistaros l'shem alokeinu. Okay, that's Perigimel. Why did he say Perigimel? Well, maybe you could have figured it out for yourself. He's being, first of all, you can say, he's being very methodical. His love is very methodical. First, let's define it. Then let's say what you need in order to develop it. And then let's talk. It's not that long, Perigimel. Let's say what will require it. Chovos HaLavavos does not need Yichud HaMaisa because it's built in. Now, we'll stop here and we'll start Perig Dalet next week. Mitzvah Hashem. You may be bothered by a question. I was bothered by the question. But doesn't Yichud HaMaisa still have place if you're doing it for schar? even for Olam Haba. We said that's not really the most pure way to do things. We asked, there was a question that came up. So L'chayra, I can have Avas Hashem. So again, you could say, no, my Avas Hashem then is flawed. It's not real Avas Hashem if I'm doing it for, so it's not Avas Hashem. But that's really not true, because you're certainly Mekayim the mitzvah of Avas Hashem, even if you're motivator. You do it, you work on it, you read the Rambam, you look at the Bria, you do Shar HaBechina, and you develop a love for Hashem. But your ultimate goal is to get into Olam Haba. Like, that's your ultimate goal. It's true, it won't be with people, but the answer is, I told you a few weeks ago, that it's a mistake. I made the mistake it's not a question. Hashem wants you to have Olam Haba. That's part of the system. There's nothing wrong with doing it. And that's all Ratzon Hashem. Hashem wants us to bond with Him and be part of Him and be miyached with Him, and that's Olam Haba. So He's not worried about that. He's not worried about someone that wants to go along with the system that Hashem created and is perfectly happy to be part of that system. He's worried about someone who is not an Oved Hashem. Chal not an Oved Hashem. It's, you know, who's doing something for other people. He's doing something so that other people reward him with something. So that's, you can't do in Chavos Halvavos. The reward of Olam Haba is part of Hashem's system. You're not corrupting the mitzvah. Maybe that. It's true, and, you know, you could strive for a height that you don't even care about that anymore. You just want to do Hashem's will. But I don't think anybody would call. But if you want all of my boy, you know, not in a crass way. You just, you know, it's part of the system. I'm going to bond with Hashem. I'm doing things ruchni. I'm becoming raw ruchni, and I'm going to thereby bond with Hashem. So that's okay. That's part of the system. You're not corrupting the mitzvah you're doing. What corrupts the mitzvah you're doing is if you're not being an Eved Hashem. You're corrupting the mitzvah, you're being an Eved for yourself, you're being an Eved of other people. You're looking for things to get from other people, and that's corruptive, and that's not Yichud HaMaisa. Okay? See, we come.